This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Yesterday, all the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason, you know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it, tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for August 24th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Aman. How you doing, Aman?
Ooh, it's August 24th. I'm going to be self-indulgent and wish myself a happy half birthday because my birthday is on February 24th, and Today is exactly 6 months away from that. So, oh my God, half of 28 is gone. Oh, getting old. But, you know, I'm having a great time. I'm glad to be back for the morning update. And I'm excited to talk about everything that's been going on.
Can't believe we asked you to do an update on your half birthday.
I know. What kind of inconsiderate shit is this, Taryn? This was just like, you know, I was hoping that Sam would catch on when he asked me to be on today, but it just never happened. So,
yeah, when you were like, I could do the update, but
yeah,
I mean the 24th.
I prefer not like to not have to do it, but you know, it's okay. Sure, I guess.
Well, we are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 24 live feeds. It was day 49 in the house, and the feeds came back outside. So we now know what is going on the outside, but.
Let me tell you, I wish we didn't.
We're going to make you wait to hear what's going on, because first we have to talk about what's happening inside. And there's really not much that's happening inside. But let's first talk about what's happening inside. Of course, Brittany has had the veto, didn't use it. Jasmine, Monty on the block, they've talked about sending or telling Jasmine that she's the one that's going to go home. That's kind of where we left off. The only intrigue left on the inside is what kind of conversations will Brittany and Michael have, given that Brittany knows that Monty is actively talking about targeting Michael at around the final five or so. They did have a conversation where they did rehash the decision to potentially send Monty out. Brittany did not make a point of saying that Monty is specifically coming for Michael. So she hasn't really, divulged that information to its fullest yet. But they do still decide that they need to keep Monty around. Some of their concerns revolve around the fact that they love the idea of bringing Terrence to the final three, but everyone might have that idea. And specifically with Monty, he has talked about specifically, even after the Terrence throwing the veto scenario, like, ah, I think I can get him back on my side. And so they're concerned that Monty may be thinking in the, along the same lines of them as like, hey, you know, if we want to get out Michael and bring Terrence instead, then wouldn't that be great? So maybe Terrence should be the next target. They're not sure. But either way, they're still saying it doesn't make sense to take out Monty yet. They want to keep Monty around. Really, nothing is changing here.
Yeah, I mean, I think we talk about it every year with the older house guests. Either they are one of the early boots or they get dragged to the end because they're a perceived goat. I will say that I think Terrence has been playing a great flip-floppy game, telling everybody what they want to hear. So everyone feels like they're on his side. Granted, as you just said, Brittany and Michael sort of are on to the fact, well, maybe, you know, we need to get him out because of that. But I still feel like even if you do need to get Terrence out, you get him out secondarily. I mean, maybe I could eat my words because he definitely became HOH this week, but that was really a fluke. It wasn't really like Terrence got HOH because of a fluke this week. Let's just be honest. Like, I mean, I'm not really sure how many times we're going to see him be HOH again. So I don't think that his threat level really is that much. So I feel like they have the right call here in saying, okay, well, yeah, we got to be wary of him potentially being the GOAT for everyone to make it to the end. But at the same time, we can probably keep him around for a couple more weeks and probably go after Monty. Maybe not next week, but definitely before Terrence. So I think they have the right call.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say it again. Like, the thing is, with the end game competitions, particularly at Final Four and really at Final Three, yeah, absolutely, Terrence can win competitions prior to that. But given the history of the show in the last, like, 5 to 10 years, like, those competitions are just unwinnable for somebody like Terrence, who is the older house guest. The older house guest just never wins those competitions. And so, you know,
the only house guest that could have would have been Donnie. So that was the only thing they Donnie got his ass out of there. And
or Cliff, right? Cliff was great at competitions. Yeah. Also, was unable to win those end game competitions. Like, you know, it doesn't matter how good you are at comps if just those competitions are just too physical for you to be able to keep up. So, So that's kind of where they stand. Really, the rest of the day plays out pretty smoothly. They still have not told Jasmine, but they plan on telling her soon. They have some conversations about that. Monty does have the conversation with Brittany, where they agree that they will tell Jasmine tomorrow. And also, he sort of like teases some of the things he's talked about with Taylor. Like, hey, once we get to five, Michael's real good. So Monty has now broached the topic, not broached the topic, but broached the topic with Brittany about potentially taking Michael out at around five. And she entertains the discussion and, you know, as of now, still hasn't told Michael the full extent of it. But it has now been brought up to her, you know, directly by Monty.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice spot to be in for Brittany, I feel. Obviously, you don't want your, you know, home skillet biscuit to be the first person out of the five to go, because then where does that leave you? But at least she has this information. She's in a sweet spot where they are willing to tell her this. Granted, I don't necessarily think that she earned that sweet spot. I think it more has to do with, like, Monty being just, Monty, what are you doing? but still, I mean, she's in that spot regardless, and now she can release that information to Michael whenever she feels like it's the most the best time to do so. And obviously from Monty's end, it's, I think, yeah, you should be focused on getting Michael up, maybe getting Michael even a little sooner than five, who knows. But you don't necessarily need to tell that to everybody. But you know, I mean, I think he's a little bit late to the party. I mean, even if you could make the argument, oh, well, maybe he could tell Taylor because clearly they have a little, you know, something going on. Well, Taylor's been in bed with Michael and Brittany since like week three. So yeah, you're just late. I mean, but he's, you know, he's all, there's really no one else for him to talk game with because he's been separated from most of his like allies that he actually does talk more game with. So, you know, I think it made him feel very comfortable because all four of them were able to unite and getting Jasmine out of here. So now I feel like he has like this inflated sense of these are my people. Like we're all in the leftovers. Like that's it, you know? And it's like, I don't know. There might be some leftovers within the leftovers, Monty. So.
Oh boy. Anything else from inside that you wanted to bring up before we head outside?
No, I'm just glad that Jasmine is indeed the intended target, because while it would have been funny to have to listen to her in the DR a couple of more weeks, I really don't like it when people that have ailments are dragged. Christmas has ruined that for me. So I'm glad that we're nipping it in the butt this year.
All right. Well, that's it for Inside. There's really, again, not too much to update there. But as we said, the feeds did come back outside, so we have some things to talk about. Let's head outside.
Ooh, I mean, that needs to be longer. It like gets you in a groove for like 2 seconds and then it cuts off. Wow, what a tease.
Heading outside, the feeds came back while the roundtable was happening. And of course, it wasn't until right after the roundtable that we actually found out anything particularly useful. So, made the roundtable outdated.
Yeah, I need to listen to that. I was like, how are they going to do this? They don't know anything about outside. So that'll be an interesting listen.
The feeds came back and we learned that, yes, in fact, Terrence did use the veto on Turner and nominated Kyle in his place. So Kyle and Joseph are on the block. That has definitely happened. Those rumors were correct. There is also some kind of, you know, cover over the roof. They really did that. They hate it. It sucks for them, but I guess it's doing something.
I didn't even know that Big Brother had a cover to do something like that. Like, was it always there and it just like they never
had to run to Home Depot?
Or do they run to the Home Depot, or like did the Revengers come and fly over and attach it to the roof? Like, I don't understand. It's kind of insane to me, and it does seem a little inhumane. We get to hear Turner sort of talking a lot about it. It's like, yeah, like when that sun is out, like that heat's gonna get trapped in there. Like, that doesn't seem cool at all, literally.
Yes. Well, sort of as I talked about yesterday and I guess the last couple of days in terms of, you know, rumor accounts, stuff like that, verifiable information is something that you can look at and go, okay, we'll see if this is true or not. Unverifiable information, like which way people might be leaning or what they're saying in the diary room or things that you just probably won't find out for sure. Definitely don't trust that as much, because A, they could be lying. B, they could be misinformed. C, like the person telling them the information could just be interpreting incorrectly or whatever. And one of those things is almost definitely true, because some of the other information that was being said, clearly not the case. Very clearly, things are pretty set for now. And we'll sort of explain how set they are in terms of which direction they are set as we talk about Joseph pitching to Terrence. So remember, Joseph and Kyle are on the block, and Joseph is pitching, hey, I will owe you in my life in this game if you keep me. Yeah. And we talked about this on the roundtable right away. The fact that Joseph is even pitching to Terrence is a very bad sign. And really, again, like the idea that Terrence or Turner or anybody would be like not sure what they want to do yet is a pretty wild idea to begin with. People don't usually like think, oh, I don't know what I want to do. They usually have this. They're usually decided the second they make a decision. But it certainly was possible because of all of the unknowns regarding the wall yelling. But he says, Joseph says, I will happily go home for you, Turner and Alyssa. that Kyle is not loyal. I am loyal. I'll be a big target in front of you. The other side will come for me and I'll happily allow that to happen. And Terrence is like, why would they come for you? What makes you think that they've betrayed you, Joseph? And he's like, well, they're going to assume that I'm with you guys. And, you know, like Michael didn't pick me in the thing. I'll never forgive him for that. And so I'm they're coming for me. And Terrence is not very responsive to this conversation. Very, very much like not talking a lot and kind of just like, I mean, hey, if you can get them to flip, go for it. Like, not great.
I mean, when you have somebody like Terrence, that's usually such a lying ass yes man to almost everything that anyone says, and he's sitting over there like with his eyes barely open, lean back as if he's just waiting for the waiter to bring him a pina colada or something. I'm just like, it's not looking good. And I don't know when the pitch of I will go home for you next week has ever worked on Big Brother. That's just when you are at the point where you're saying I'm going to sacrifice my game. I feel like that's it. Yeah, I mean, it's desperation. Most I get why people say it, so I'm not going to fault him for saying it. But that's when you know that your game is really not in a good space. And I mean, I can kind of follow the logic of him trying to say, oh, well, the other side is clearly going to be against me. If I stay, the first sign of this was Michael not picking me for the other side, because if I was on his side, then he would have wanted to protect me. So they clearly threw me to the wolves. But the thing is, Joseph, if you were going to go with that narrative, maybe you should have started working on that earlier. Granted, maybe he could have, and we didn't see it because the feeds have been down for like 36 hours. But I don't feel like that's something that he was saying in the beginning. I felt like he really felt like there was a chance that he would stay, either Kyle and Alyssa or Alyssa would go, and he could just go right back into the fold and then end up targeting Terrence with the rest of the house next week. So that's not really a route that you can take now. I think you really just should have just wholeheartedly been, get Kyle out of here, because this, that, and the third. You go over there and tell Alyssa what Kyle has been saying about her for the past 3 weeks. But for whatever reason, he still has like this bit of leftover loyalty to Kyle. And it's like so strange to me. I don't get it. Like, he clearly got one over on the two of you, and you're still more focused on what? I just, it don't make damn sense to me.
There's a lot of things outside that are kind of like weird. And I'm sure a lot of it has to do with the fact that the wall yelling potentially interrupted things and all of that. But
The thing about the wall yelling, though.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, you know what? You know what? Well, let's continue. Because I can come up at a later point.
Okay.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
For your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is made possible by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough outcomes. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you thrive. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at thenewequation.com.
Well, Terrence is going to talk to Alyssa, and this is when we really get the real information here that Immediately, Terrence is involved in the conversation and talking, and very clear. This is much more truthful. They're hoping that Michael took the shot at Monty inside. If not, him and Monty need to be on the block together. They're not sure if they want to tell the other side that Joseph told them about the leftovers, or if they should pretend like they don't even know about the leftovers. There's going to be more to that discussion later, as well as the discussion about who to target. Terrence is really annoyed that Joseph keeps pitching to him. Oh, God, just stop already. Because he's long gone. The decision is clear. They are voting out Joseph. They believe there is no world where Joseph would choose them over the other side, or vice versa, where the other side would choose to work with them over Joseph. So Joseph needs to go.
I mean, it sucks, but I mean, he was late to the punch. Like, he let Kyle run the gamut on him. I don't understand why, but okay, and now you're up on the block. And I mean, we thought that maybe there was a chance that something could have been different because Kyle got put up on the block, and I'm still a little confused as to how that happened. And if the wall yelling had something to do with it, it would seem that Kyle would need to be the target at that point, because if you're going back on your word to Kyle saying that you're safe, but then a wall yeller happens and then you're like, actually, you're not safe, why not get him out? So maybe it has nothing to do with the wall yeller, but I just find that hard to believe, because there's no way that they would keep the feeds off for that amount of time. So I'm just like, what is going on? I don't understand. Is it, are they just not allowed to talk about it? Maybe this is like a big ass long con by Terrence, and maybe Kyle is the target and we're not going to know until Thursday. It's so strange to me, because it feels like the wall yeller had an impact, but then it also feels like in the end result, the wall yeller had no impact. So it's, and on top of that, we're never going to get the full story, because they're not going to show us on the episode. They're going to do everything they can to bury it down deep, deep, deep into the ground. So I just don't, this whole thing is just very strange to me. I don't know how to form an opinion, because I don't have any information.
Yeah. I mean, very, very clearly they are not allowed to talk about the wall. I mean, that, and we know that that is how they typically operate, right? So obviously they're not going to be talking about the wall yeller. Now, I will say that based on a conversation later that we'll get to, I think I have reason to believe that this was not an intentional ploy by Kyle to be put on the block. That it was not Kyle's decision to go up. It was not always his, you know, his thing. At least that's what it seems like based on the conversation, because he's going to talk with Terrence Turner and Alyssa later, and kind of like be like, well, you know, we can be like, oh, the fact that I went on the block, that's even more like it's coming to him just now. Like, right. It wasn't a pre-planned thing. So that implies to me that he did go on the block, and also like the way that he went up, or the way that they're talking about him going up was like, oh, we can spin me going up as this, right. Implying that there's something to spin, that there was something there at some point, just that it then, you know, for whatever reason that he went up, it was either to never actually take him out, or it went from, okay, maybe I heard something and I need to do something about it, to wait a minute, nah, it's a dumb idea. Of course, I'm going to keep Kyle. Whatever it was, it does seem clear that they have been on the train of keeping Kyle for a while now.
Or, yeah. So that's the point that I was going to make before. It seems like, and I know I was having a lot of fun on Twitter, like when the initial wall yelling reports broke, because I was just having fun. I don't really care. But ultimately, like most of us agree, wall yelling typically doesn't really do too much. And in this case, it might have allowed them to do exactly what you said and double down on making Joseph the target. Maybe initially they heard Kyle's a liar, Kyle's a whatever the hell. Terrence gets spooked. He's like, okay, well, maybe I do need to think about getting Kyle up out of this house. And then maybe with all of the production manipulation, which obviously is happening right now, saying, oh, you're not allowed to talk about this. We cannot have this be a part of the narrative. You guys cannot allow this to influence your gameplay. maybe at that point it like pigeonholes Joseph, because now he can't even like really use Kyle this, Kyle that, Kyle this, because it's going to be like, oh, well, you're only saying that because of what the wall yeller said. You weren't saying any of this before. So now Joseph is essentially getting his wings clipped, whereas like in a situation where he would have more room to grow because Kyle is on the block, they are so dead set on not allowing that to affect their games that it's like, okay, well, we're just going to go with what the original plan was and have Kyle stay because that's the best happy medium between everything that's happened on so far. So ultimately, the wall yelling.
Yeah,
not good thing in the end.
For a moment there with no information, it seemed like maybe for the first time in Big Brother history, wall yelling might have actually succeeded in its goal. But you know what? Of course not. Of course it backfired. Of course it made things worse. Because now the four, Kyle, Turner, Alyssa, and Terrence are more united than ever. And we've got Joseph like spilling his guts, to them, giving all of the information that he has from the other side. It's like, of course this is what happened because this is what I was saying before we found out that things might have changed. But like, even if it did influence the Kyle nomination, it has now, you know, really significantly backfired to a degree that, it is exactly the opposite, I think, of what they wanted. And that's like, that's the thing. And this is what I was saying before we found out anything about this, is that you can wall yell all you want. You have a voice outside of the house, but production has voices inside of the house. They can spin whatever you're saying in whatever way that they want to. They will make sure that you do not succeed. And they will make it backfire if it doesn't automatically backfire, which I think it usually does to begin with. So,
yeah, I mean, I understand all of that. And I understand why like, fans are very fervent about this show. We know this. I am one of them. I don't know. I mean, I don't live in LA, so I can't even say that I wouldn't. I mean, I'm just trying to be honest. I'm just saying, I don't know if I wouldn't be one of those people over there with a microphone. Probably not, but the idea definitely would run across my mind a couple of times. Every week I'd be like, do I want to go over there and wall yell? Maybe. So I understand why people do what they do, especially in a season like this where we have been eating so well. Every eviction has been fire, okay? It's just been facts, no printer. Like, it's just been so great, okay? So I understand wanting to keep that ball rolling. But at the end of, and I understand specifically in the instance of Kyle, why so many fans are so annoyed with his game, he's doing the things that have been coming out of his mouth. I understand that you just want something righteous to happen. I get it. But ultimately, trying to influence the game and screw him over, it's just not the way to go about it. I mean, and I still have a hard time believing, even with everything that's happened so far, I find it hard to believe that Kyle even stands a chance of winning this game anyway. So that's kind of where I'm getting my solace. I'm just like, look, he's not going to win. Like, the other side of the house has already been like, if Joseph does not come back in, you're done. Like, I don't see him escaping that any kind of which way. Maybe he survives one more week, maybe two more weeks, but there's going to be somebody in that house that wants him out. So I'm just going to rely on those players to do what they need to do and allow them to play the game without me trying to press my, you know, thumb on the scale, because it's not cool. Ultimately, it's not cool to try to influence the game in your favor. It's just, I mean, y'all get pissed at production for doing that, so why would you do it? You know, so.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll say again, like, the one of the primary reasons I'm against wall yelling is that, like, even if it did succeed, what all you're doing is opening up the forum for anybody to go and do it. And, like, yeah, you might agree with the person that's doing it saying, you might agree with what they're saying. Like, you might be on the side of what they're saying right now, but. Yeah, the more that it's encouraged, the more that you're encouraging people that you don't agree with to go and do it. And you will very much not be happy if they ruin the game of somebody that you like.
And then you're going to wind up on the 6 o'clock news reports of a brawl outside of the Big Brother house on the other side of the LA River as two factions of Team Kyle and Team Joseph seem to come to a head. Like, I can see that happening.
And at the same time, like there are people like, I can't believe you even thought that it could happen. Like, of course I thought that it could happen. Like, it's sure that I think, and I've always had this stance, the chances of wall yelling impacting the game are low. They've historically never worked. But to say that I should have buried my head in the sand, that like, oh, the veto was used, Kyle's on the block, the feeds have been down for days in this unprecedented situation where they're stuck outside and wall yelling is continuing. But clearly it's still definitely not working, and I'm not going to consider the option that it might have worked, is an atrocious intellectual stance to take. So of course it's possible that it could have worked, but it didn't, because it usually doesn't.
Right. And I'm not even going to blame the wall yellers, although I do blame them. I'm blaming more so production for this. Like, there was no reason for this to need to happen. Like, there was no reason. You could. I don't work in TV. I don't work in production, but I have to imagine that there were alternatives to putting them outside. I understand that you want it to be Dire Fest. So you want it to sort of like be like this whole thing. You could have done upstairs, downstairs. You could have used one of the other sound stages. When you know that there's a possibility of wall yellers, why put yourself through that risk? It just doesn't make much sense to me, because even if it ends up not affecting the game, it still does, technically. And second of all, why put yourself through the extra work of having to be around the clock, making sure that they don't hear anything at all? It just doesn't make much sense. So I just hope that if they do this again in the future, that they don't do it like this. There are other ways to split the house up. It doesn't have to be like this. Like, you're making makeshift kitchens and everything. Like, it just seemed like a lot to do for all of this headache for the next 3 days. So hopefully they learn from that.
So that seems to be where we are here. Turner is going to talk with Kyle, or Joseph is going to talk with Turner, Kyle, and Alyssa. And this is where things really start to get, weird. So Joseph is going to tell them, hey, just so you know, Michael, Brittany, and Taylor, they were a thing. They're a thing in The Leftovers. And Kyle's like, what? Really? I never saw that. And he's like, absolutely. They're trying to hide it. But listen, I spent a lot of time with Taylor. And Brittany was talking to her all the time. And when I saw that Michael protected Brittany and Taylor by picking them in the thing, I was like, ah, I knew it. And it's so clear he picked Monty as his backup target. But hey, listen, if Monty is still there, that means that he's been locked in as their fourth. I just take this information when you go back in there. If Monty is still there, it's those three, and they've locked in Monty as their fourth. Believe this. Taylor even proposed a final four with Michael and Brittany to me at one point. Of course, I said no, but they are working together. It's just like, oh,
Joseph, why are you doing this? It doesn't help anybody other than them.
He's literally giving them and because it's not like he's pitching to Turner and Alyssa here. He's giving Kyle, Turner, and Alyssa this information under the guise of like, when you guys go back in without me, be aware. What?
Why is Kyle involved? I don't understand. I don't understand it. Why?
I don't understand it, Joseph. Like, I understand that your back is up against the wall, but there is still a way to play. There are ways to play. There are escape routes that do not involving the person that's on the block with you. Why? Just tell this to Turner and Alyssa. Why are you not spilling the beans about all the stuff that Kyle said? I don't understand. I mean, granted, yes, we know that showmances or whatever, but if there's any play to make, it's definitely that play instead of telling Kyle everything. It does. I don't get it, man. I don't get it. Like, the oh, how the mighty have fallen. Like, honestly.
Yeah. And like, the thing is, like, this is bad information for him to give. It just further implicates him that he's with them. Like, oh, they're a trio that aren't even that willing to work with Monty. The only reason they're working with him is because they were his backup target. And now if he's there, it means that that he's their fourth. They prefer to have Joseph as their fourth. But don't worry, they'll still definitely target. This is counter to the information he has been telling, the pitch that he's been giving. This information is bad for him to stay, and it's bad for Taylor and Michael and Brittany. The only thing that makes sense, if assuming this isn't just a complete mistake, is if he's just actively trying to protect Monty and that Monty is his priority here. But who knows at this point? It's not good.
I just think he's button mashing. He's button mashing because he doesn't know what else to do. And I feel like it's just been like a slow realization for him that he's going to be the one to go. And with each day that passes, probably it's just been more and more blunder. For the life of me, just can't get past the fact that he's telling Kyle all of this. That's what's really insane to me, because I mean, Turner has every reason to believe everything that Joseph is saying, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, if they believe what he's saying, that's bad for him. He shouldn't want them to believe this, because this makes them more willing to take him out this week. This is bad information to give. He should be saying, hey, I was really close with Taylor and she was telling me that, you know, Michael and Brittany are actually siding with Kyle in the divide, and that when they get back inside, Michael and Brittany are going to work with Kyle to take out everyone else in the alliance. Like, something. So it's like, if you're campaigning against Kyle, don't make it about you being with them. Make it about him being with them. Something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And that's my point. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't understand. Like, I mean, Turner can back all of this up, especially since they already, like, he's probably one of the people that is closest to Joseph within the leftover. So yeah, of course, like, now Turner can go and be like, oh yeah, yeah, that's totally what's going on. Like, it's just, I don't get it. I still don't get it. Even from the moment of feast that we did have in the beginning of all of this, when you see the conversations that Joseph is having with Terrence and the conversation that Kyle is having with Terrence, I'm just like, from night one, I was like, ooh, this is not looking good. It's not looking good.
So with this new information, Turner, Kyle, Alyssa, and Terrence are going to talk. And first of all, Alyssa's like, wow, I'm so glad he told us that. I mean, makes it even easier to take him out, because clearly he's with them. Also, makes no sense what he's saying. He said that Taylor pitched an alliance with him, Michael, and Brittany, a Final Four alliance, and that he said no to it. But when he was talking to me earlier, he said the only reason he was in the Five Swatters is because he would never say no to an alliance. So clearly he said yes. Clearly there's a Final Four between Joseph, Taylor, Michael, and Brittany. It's very obvious. And they're like, wow, yes, absolutely. What a great catch, Alyssa. Clearly he would never want to work with us. Yeah.
This is just getting more depressing by the day. I don't even know.
Turner is gonna say, hey, hopefully Jasmine won the veto on the other side and she stays, so she'll be a number for us. Which, when did we enter the upside down?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm willing to believe that he actually means that, though. Like, that's like, really, Turner? Think about what you're saying. Jasmine? Jasmine? The girl that has been pissing you off and getting on your nerves for the past, like, season of Big Brother? Jasmine? I just...
He's always been very impressionable. Remember, he didn't like Taylor or Brittany until Kyle and Monty told him to.
But he woke up. He woke up. And I just feel like when you're awake, you need to stay awake. Like, Jasmine? See, It must be the outside. It must be the outside. It must be the rotting bread in the fridge. It's the cover over the roof. It's the heat. It's all of that that's making him do this.
I think the problem is that he didn't wake up. It's that he just like went from one dream to another, and people liked the other dream. And now he's back to a different dream.
I mean, okay. So let's talk about it. Keeping Jasmine staying, being a number for the four of them.
Because they can tell her about the leftovers, and then
Jasmine's gonna go.
Brittany and Taylor versus the rest of them,
and Michael.
Well, Michael can't compete.
Right, okay. Well, yeah. But like in terms of like numbers, yeah. So, sure, makes sense. So, I don't think it's a bad play, and you can still always just get Jasmine out of there later on because she's probably not going to win anything.
I mean, Turner's correct that he should want Monty out, and that Joseph Jasmine is going to work with them if I'm she stays and they got the leftovers.
I'm just trying to weigh it out. Like, is it worth your sanity,
Is it worth your soul? Like when Amon picked Turner in the first place.
Is it worth... Well, hey. It was. Because technically, one of my players made it to Final Five, and the other one is gone. So... Joseph really just set them up. He set them up very nicely to make this a very interesting battle heading up into this Thursday. So,
and he gave them the information to really solidify their bond as a four. That you know gave them not only like because they feared the four inside might be bonding, but now they know at least three of the four inside have a final three. And Joseph assured them if Monty stays, that means they've locked him in as the fourth. And so now they know that they need to stick together. There's zero chance of anything else breaking up. And they need to go in united, which means taking Joseph out. That's the thing too. Like, especially as Joseph is saying, like the other four are united, that means that like, okay, well, if Alyssa's not willing to, like, even if there was some talk about taking Kyle out, that means that it would have to be Turner and Terrence. Turner making it a tie, Terrence breaking the tie, which means they're not going in united. They would lose Alyssa. And now it's 3 versus 5 because Alyssa flips over. So even if, this argument is so bad for Joseph, I have no idea why he would say this. But anyway, Kyle says, we can't appear tight. What do you think we should do? And this is sort of like how Kyle has been manipulating the people on the outside all week long from what we saw previously. He is, Kyle, he's good at making people feel like they are being heard and then just kind of like giving them the answer he wants. Because he's eventually going to say, look, we can say Joseph, we can say Joseph didn't spill anything about the leftovers and that nobody still knows about it. And maybe when they find out that I went up on the, Kyle went up on the block, like maybe they'll be even more convinced. And Kyle says, well, we can maybe even pretend like I was on the block from the beginning, that you nominated me and Joseph, and then you won the veto and you didn't use it. What can we do? And Terrence kind of accepts like, yeah, I'll just say that I'll just like be quiet. I'll act like it was me the whole time. I made all these choices.
He's a liar. This is not going to work. This is not going to work. Terrence cannot hold water. The minute that there's any indication of him being he's going to spill everything. This is not going to work. I mean, I appreciate Kyle trying to, you know, plug all of the holes real quick before they go back in, but it's not going to work, especially if the other side wins HOH. Mm-mm. This whole thing is just going to fall apart. And even if Alyssa or whoever wins HOH, it's not, there's going to be someone that is like, whether it's Terrence, whether it's Turner, I just don't see this being a thing. And I feel like the minute that this does get exposed, which it is going to, it's just going to get all blamed on Kyle. So I'll be excited to see when that happens. So go ahead, Kyle. Try to plug all these holes all you want to. It's not going to work. And I cannot wait to see that.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of people in the chat say like, oh, well, they can't lie because that will affect the end game comps, the questions. This is one of those spots like, who cares? Let's just don't have those kinds of questions in the end. You should absolutely, for television, allow them to lie. If Julie comes up and says, so everyone, this is what happened on this side. These two people were nominated. Then Terrence won the veto. Then Terrence used the veto. Like, why would they do that? It's so much more entertaining if they get to lie about it. And now you're watching people with like, perhaps.
Well, you would think that would be the case because they definitely shouldn't, because they're not supposed to know what happened on the last side. Everything was supposed to be separate, right? So like, if it's separate, then you can't really include questions from that week. But then again, it is Big Brother, so you never know. They might, you know.
Yeah, and like how fun would it have been? Like Monty had the idea of pretending like he won the veto and that's why he's still here. And like, that's also an awesome idea. Like, I would love it if both sides came in with fake stories about what happened, trying to convince each other and like not necessarily believing. Like, I feel like that's so much more fun than just like outright telling them everything that happened. Who cares? Like, don't ask those questions in the end game. You can still do all the trivia you want. Just don't have anything about like, there's so many different kinds of questions you can ask. Stop asking the same questions anyway. It's making it easier.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. I mean, it's just, it'll just, you know, build up an entire big balloon to be burst, which will just ultimately make everything much more messy. So yeah, go ahead. Lie it up. We'll see how long it lasts.
Yeah, so basically the end result of this is that both sides of the house are going to reunite. Michael, Brittany, Taylor, and Monty versus Kyle, Turner, Terrence, and Alyssa. And they are both going in as relatively tight groups of four. And it's 4v4. It's 3v3 in the next HOH. It's going to be Taylor, Monty, and Brittany versus Kyle, Turner, and Alyssa in the HOH, and whichever side wins, that's huge. So they are also going to talk about how basically with this new information from Joseph, that it really, like, there has been a lot of focus on Monty versus Michael, but Kyle has now finally come around to the idea that, okay, well, look, if Michael is in an alliance with Taylor and he's pulled in Monty and this was all a ploy, then you know what? Michael needs to go first while he can't compete in the HOH. So the idea is probably to target Michael if they have the ability to, if they win that HOH, with Monty as Monty or Taylor as backup targets. This is where we have come to. And I gotta say, again, despite the absolute, you know, cluster of the execution here that for this twist, they have created a split down the middle house at the final eight, which is pretty exciting overall. I really do think there's a lot of promise to this twist. Just, of course, it needs to be executed better, because, you know, the idea of going into this HOH with a split house is it's not usually like that at this time. And this is exactly what I talked about prior to the twist happening, is that I was curious about the new kinds of relationships that might develop because of it, because you're stuck outside. And a lot of like Michael's careful planning has, even though it seemed like it was great for half of the week, now in the back half of the week, without him being there to reassure people about where he stands, they've sort of like come back around on the idea of like, oh, he is a big threat and information is getting leaked that he didn't know would get leaked. He didn't even know that Joseph, knew about this final four idea. It was never even like an option for him. So some interesting things are happening here. And, things are looking more positive for Kyle than they were prior to the wall yelling, and much more negative for Michael. By extension, Taylor and Monty. I do wonder if they'll start talking about Brittany more with her winning the veto, because they're basically saying Brittany is like not going to win a comp. And so she hasn't entered their radar at all. But if they find out that she won this veto, they might look at her a little like, they were even like, it's not even 3v3. It's 3v2, because Brittany's not even going to win anything. So we'll see. But I have to imagine that some interesting things are going to come into play. Not only the HOH competition defining, you know, which side is going to get the upper hand here, but also the idea of, can they pull Turner back in? Especially, I think, Monty, who has a connection to Turner with the Pound. Hey, we're really going to go against the leftovers, what we formed, the Pound, all of that because of Kyle. I think the problem is that, again, this information that Joseph leaked, implies that the, you know, that alliance was never much to begin with. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it's there are certainly ways to maneuver this on both ends. I think for Turner, yeah, it's if coming back into the house and reuniting with everyone, he might feel a little bit more insulated now that he has the showman's ahead of him. He's in an alliance with the showman's, so he won't have to worry too much. Like, okay, so well, if Michael happens to go, oopsie daisy, you know what I mean? But, you know, on Monty's end, yeah, it's like, well, Turner, are you really sure that you want to look? Kyle threw Joseph under the bus. Obviously, that's what happened. Like, don't you think that he's going to do the exact same thing to everybody else to keep Alyssa here? Like, how long do you think you're going to be able to stay with him? Are you going to count on Terrence to win a competition again to get rid of the two of them? So there are certainly all sorts of inner workings that can happen here. I don't know. But it also is like entirely incumbent upon who wins HOH for those conversations to even really have any amount of influence. If it's Kyle that wins HOH, then it's kind of, it is what it is. Michael's probably going to go. Monty's probably the backup target. It is what it is. Turner can just sit back and relax. If it's Monty that wins HOH, if it's Taylor that wins HOH, and they know that Turner has flipped and they need to get him back on the side, then maybe those conversations will hold more weight. But I don't know.
There's almost zero chance that this HOH is going to play out live on the eviction episode because they need to get through two evictions. But man, does it need to be. Like, if there's ever a time for there to be a live HOH that plays out on the eviction episode, it is this HOH. It is such an important HOH. And, you know, it's just...
Is it supposed to be 2 hours again tomorrow, or is it just 1 hour?
No, it's just 1 hour. Yeah, we got to get through, you know, all of the post. Not that there's much to get through, but we need to get through two evictions, post, you know, veto campaigning. And so I very much doubt we're going to get the HOH competition in the episode as well. I just hope it's a good one. You know, I hope it's one that anyone can win. If there's an HOH competition to nail. Slip and slide would be terrible because, like, it would just come down to Kyle and Monty.
Yeah. Or maybe even Taylor. Yeah, it's either got, I mean, I would say maybe knockout again, but they already just did the knockout.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess a crapshoot. If it's a crapshoot, then they should be able to fit it into the episode because those usually take like 20 seconds. But then again, some of them don't. Some of them be taking forever.
Yeah. You know what would be great in this spot? The U.S. Doesn't do it, but Buzzkilled would be so good.
To play out live on the feeds, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Especially, like, yeah, playing out on the feeds as they've, like, now recently discovered, like, which sides came into play. Like, what happened? Like, who's gone? Like, Joseph is left. Now they're standing there at the buzzers, and they're talking, like, so what happened? Oh, my God. Be so good.
Yeah, it would be. But they're not going to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, even BB Can was having issues with Buzzkill this past year. So,
I mean, honestly, I guess, like, the problem is that, like, most of their endurance competitions are not equitable in that anyone can win. And so I don't love that. But the idea of an endurance competition where they've recently seen who got evicted on the other side and they're talking and perhaps, like, making deals on a wall or like whatever the endurance is on the feeds as the HOH competition is happening, as opposed to like
a quick HOH that is over very quickly. And then all of the conversations are now filtered through, well, that side won power. I love the idea of them. I love the idea of them like having to have conversations with each other while still competing for the HOH. But what are you going to do?
Or it could be like one of those comments that they did in BB18 where they had to hold their arm up. And that lasted, like the sun was up when that thing lasted. So I think they hate doing them now because they just don't want for it to last that long. But it's like these bitches stay up late anyway. So give us one of those because that'll be, to have them, because they'll all know that something went awry on the other side, which means like, so what does that mean for all of us? Like, can I trust these people? I feel like I need to stay up in this. Like, yeah, it needs to be one of those, but it probably will not be.
No, I don't think so. All right. Well, that's about what we have then. Heading into next week again, 4-4, and we'll see which side wins. Anything else to bring up here, Amon?
Nope. Just it's a topsy-turvy ass week. And as much as the momentum slowed down, it also kind of picked up. It's just been very strange. But yeah.
You know, I'm kind of realizing now, I bet what's going to happen is the eviction is going to happen and then the feeds are going to be down for like hours, like for a long time. Because they're not going to have anything set up for the HOH yet, probably. So...
Unless they're using the sound stage that they should have just put on anyway.
I don't like this entire twist, not the entire twist, but like a large portion of this twist is a bust if we don't get to see them interacting when they come back. And so if the feeds are down, but like while they're setting up the, like just bring the feeds back and then bring them back down after the age when they compete. Just don't have them down for the entire night and we don't get to see any of them coming back in, please.
Yeah, especially because I'm not going to rely on the edit at all. Like, but you know what? You're right. They're probably just going to take it all out because I can't. Well, I don't know. I mean, with this whole lie that Kyle is trying to have them all follow. I don't know, but I don't know. I just feel like that wall yelling conversation is going to happen at some point. I just don't see them never saying anything about it again, and that's another reason.
I think the fact that they're already planning to hide even more like relevant things, like who knows about the leftovers? Like, I think it's very possible that it doesn't get talked about unless the other side wins and they start spilling their guts. Everyone.
But that's why I'm like, I don't know, like, because they're going to be talking about like why there was always music playing, and I just I don't trust any of these people to not say anything. I just feel like it's going to get brought up. Maybe not tomorrow night, but it's still a huge possibility that it could. So those feeds are going to be down.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you today. I will, of course, be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother 24 live feeds. I think we're probably going to get some quiet days until the eviction tomorrow night. So we will see, but I will, of course, be back here tomorrow. And of course, later tonight, at 8 p.m. Eastern, the episode will be on. We'll see what narrative they choose to go with. Maybe we get some actual insight, but the problem is I'm not going to trust anything we get. Who knows? But we'll see what's happening. I'll be live on Twitch, twitch.tv/Darren Armstrong, watching along with all of you and reacting in the moment to what story they try to sell us. And then tomorrow night, of course, I'll also be live watching the eviction episode, and we'll be back after both episodes here on Rob Has a Podcast to recap what goes down. We will also be talking with Brittany from last season live today at 2:30 p.m. Eastern for the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. And then that podcast will drop for everyone else after the fact. So check all of that out. Make sure you find me again on Twitch. You can also watch some Among Us videos that I've been dropping. I got a new one dropping today with the new Game of Thrones show, House of the Dragon, airing. I decided I would release the video that has me channeling my inner Littlefinger and causing some chaos as a ladder in Among Us. So make sure you check that one out today. It's a very fun one. Find me over on Twitter @ArmstrongTaren. Amon, where can people find you?
You can find me everywhere at Adamon Adwin. I got to sit down with Matt Scott over at Pod Friends. It was a very, very lovely, unexpectedly therapeutic conversation. So if you want to learn a little bit more about moi, you can go ahead and check that out. I also just joined Bryce for an entire episode of Pop Culture Hot Topics over at the Purple Pants Podcast. It was lots of fun. So, yep, that's it for me.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for joining us here today. And I will see all of you next time.